Halashing for Halas? Want to bry or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for Essen Fressen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Adrian Bugatti, your host for today. And in store today, a little bit of chatting about some of the shows that I've been watching and some really funny ideas that I saw on Food Trends. And then a interview with one of my favorite cooks. Absolute kugel, this one, even if she's not Jewish. Tzipisa Semenya from Chef's Alchemy. And we're going to talk about her journey in kosher cooking and all those fun ideas and things that she comes up with on the spur of the moment. So the first thing is that I don't know about you guys, an absolute mad for food cooking show person. But the cooking show's kind of got to get my interest quite quickly. I'm not on the, what they've got, those fancy shows like Chef, Iron Chef and all of those things. Although I do follow on YouTube, his son has a thing called My Dad is an Iron Chef or something like that. And they come up with really, really amazing ideas. Then I watch something called Sorted. Now, Sorted is more for us. It's actually a lot of fun. It's a group of guys, which can already tell you is going to work out really well. Two are normals, as they call themselves. They're not chefs. Please excuse me. and one is a chef called Ben. Now, Ben, Barry, Mike, and Spaff have been friends since school. So, sorry, it's three normals and a chef. They've been friends since primary school. They went their different ways. Ben went to culinary school. And they've just added a new guy called Kush, who Ben had spoken in front of at one of the culinary schools. He'd done a whole talk because Sorted is all about sustainability. It's talking about foods that you can use across like multiple dishes, which is something I really love. They reduce food waste and they often like review some of the weirdest products, I have to tell you. One this week, which I really, really loved, was coffee in a tube. So it's kind of more for the campers. It's not your percolated coffee. Sorry, guys, it's not your press or any of those. But it, according to them, it made really good coffee. They just squeezed it into some hot water, stirred it up, and their morning cup of coffee was ready. So it's great for people who are traveling and not sure where they're going to be. It's also great for campers. It's just one small item to stick in your bag instead of a big jar of coffee. So I love that. This week, though, they really had something funny. Now, Ben and Kush are the chefs. Kush has worked in Michelin star restaurants and that. And a couple of weeks ago, they were sitting around the table discussing ideas for shows. And they came up with, why not try dog food? So they had to do some research into the dog food to see if it was a viable option and human friendly. So perfect. That's what they're going to do. And we'll tell you what they did when I come back.
Halashing for Halas? Want to bry or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Okay, so now they've been gifted these three packets of dog food from this company. Now, the company uses human quality vegetables and meats. They are not cutoffs or anything like that. It's vacuum sealed and it was perfectly healthy for them to eat. That was the first thing they had to look. The second thing they did tell us, obviously, was can't do this for the dogs. You can use the dog food for the dogs, but not the recipes that they're about to create. Then who's the poor sucker who's going to taste test these things? Well, that happened to be Barry. So he drew the short straw and he was taste testing. While Spaff and Mike are standing there, they're like commentating on what's going on. And the two chefs have come up with these amazing meals. The one was from the beef mixture. They made a lasagna, right down to the plating and the side dressings and salads and all sorts of things. The second one was chicken, that they did a huge big phyllo pastry chicken pie type effort. And then, so they went kind of Moroccan, and then they went Indian flavor with the vegetarian stuff. and they made some like vegetarian fish cake meatball type thing, but it was pure vegetarian. I'm not sure what you would call them. And they served this to him, and he said they were amazing. Now, only boys can think of something like this, really. The two guys commentating had tasted the raw stuff, so did the chefs. They wanted to see what it was like before they started adding flavors and ingredients and things to the recipes. And Barry sits down, and he's now going to taste this. And he's sitting and he's tasting, and he goes, "Ooh, lasagna, delicious, bit gamey, but very nice. What is the food trend here?" Moves on to the next one. Very excited. Morocco. He loves Morocco. Still, can't work out what this food trend is that they're trying to do. Or the theme of the show, even. Eventually, they told him. He almost passed out. His reaction was classic. And then everybody tucks into eating this dog food. As I said, it could only be a boys-run show. But it was a lot of fun to do. And they just... so entertaining. The other one that I've been watching is Rosanna. I cannot say her surname. Pisano, I think it is. She used to have a show that my kids used to watch, my girls, called Nerdy Nummies, which was all baking and cookies and things like that. But she was only like 16 at the time. Now she's an adult. And she does a lot of the cooking trends that she sees on TikToks and shows whether they work, don't work, or whether they are dangerous and why. And I love that show. So there's a lot of development coming out of the food trends for TikTok. And we see these 5-minute things and these little cheats and little hacks. And I love watching the guys on the internet test them out. Proper cooks, people who know what they're doing, just test them out. It is amazing. So turning food from nothing or from leftovers into gourmet meals, those are always things. And that's where I learn a lot from. I learn a lot from chefs. I will never be a chef. I'm a good home cook. Plating is my kryptonite. It will never look pretty. Even though Kush on the Sorted Show has done a plating course. He kind of did an hour where he showed how you plate, how you choose your plates, all those kind of things. Yeah, it hasn't made that much difference. I honestly am still going to plate the way I always do. And they're talking about size and heights and colors and choosing your plates and all that things. And speaking of all these colors and plates and choosing all these wonderful things that we're going to be able to put up, I am so looking forward to talking to Tseppi about her amazing creations. And she is one that can create stuff out of nothing. That I know after all the years that we have been, chatting to each other and meeting and what have you. So that's always been a great, pleasure to be with. And then we look at like the ingredients and the sustainability of food and where are you in the world and what products are available. And I like those kind of shows as well that talks about sustainability, that talk about what is seasonal, what to do with seasonal stuff that is interesting and new. And I love those kind of things. So it's absolutely the best. So we're going to have a look and see if we can connect with her. And then we carry on with chatting about incredible food and seeing what's happening. We're just waiting. There's a few technical problems with Tseppi's audio. And as soon as we can activate that, then things will work out really well. So let's keep talking about the shows that I've been watching recently and the things I've been learning from chefs. So that is one of my greatest things, is the skills and the tips and the tricks. And we always make things so complicated by ourselves. And we're on my... not on. Okay, I can see a picture of her. I can't hear her. Okay, there we go. Sound is on. Good morning, Tseppiso.
Good morning, Adrian. How are you doing?
Good, and you? All chefied up today. So, yes.
Dressed up and stuff.
So,
how are you doing?
Thank goodness, and you. It's been a morning. I know you're a little nervous. Don't be. Breathe. I promise, you know, this is a wonderful chat. Now, I've known Sipiso. I met her through Chef.
This is me after all. Yes. No, I panic. So, yes. Okay, let's do it.
That's it. So, I've known Chef Sipiso for a while. I met her through Chef Dan. They were at cooking school together. And that's how we got introduced. She came on a trip and helped, you know, and she helped with the kosher food and everything. But when she came on that course, Seppi knew nothing about kosher, like absolutely nothing. So how was that first experience, getting thrown in the deep end like that?
Oh, that was very interesting. So funny, this happened. My first kosher trip was a week before my graduation.
That's right.
And Dan calls me up and says, this is what's going on. There's a trip coming up. It's kosher. And I'm freaking out. But in my normal nature, I take a challenge at any given time. So I agree, take the trip, wild.
It was.
I have one word, and it is wild in the beginning. I think more than anything, I realized very quickly in, because I was trying to get the semantics of it and the separation of fleshich and milshich and everything else, and parav, and just trying to understand everything. But I think what worked for me was, let's try and understand the culture. Let's understand the religion.
Yes.
Before we try and get the separation of this bowl and that spoon and that pot. And I think that's really played a massive role in taking me from the novice who knew nothing, who thought I could baste a steak with butter.
Yeah.
The and chef freaked out the first time I was told I couldn't.
Yes. Most of the chefs freak out about that. When you tell them they've got to use margarine, you can actually see their face go, not happening. Just not happening. And I must admit, that gets him all the time, because you guys are used to, you cook your steak, you'll do butter and oil together, and then you'll baste it and baste it. And now you're being told, no, you can't do that. And so that's like a main thing.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and I'm talking to Chef Tsipi, is the name we gave her in the kitchen, mostly because the guests get it right. It sounds so much like Tsipi, Tsipiso. Hey, not a problem. So, yes. So that was your first trip, and you finally, you got it, and you got it in such an amazing way. I mean, you really are like clued in and locked into this kashrut part quite easy. You've corrected a few people in the past when they've seen menus and gone, no, well, hang on a second, but this is dairy and you've got it on a dinner menu. You can't have that. That was quite a lot of fun. And then one of the fun trips we did together was Mozambique.
That was me.
Mozambique, besides getting fit, because the place we stayed at had designated the main lodge kitchen as dairy, and right down at the bottom was the meat kitchen. There were a lot of stairs.
30 steps away.
Yeah. Oh, you counted them.
30 steps away. You have to know, it was 30 stairs away.
So,
up and forth, to and fro.
Yeah.
A million times a day.
So that was one of the more intense trips that you've done as kosher, because not only were we taking all the pots and pans and all the plates and everything with us and all the food, and we have to go on a boat, go over the river, and over the sea, it wasn't even the river,
the ocean, yes,
to the island. We get to the island and there are more steps just to get to the lodge. There were I don't know how many steps up. And we're both looking at each other.
Those were actually over 100.
Yeah. We were lucky, though.
Counted 100.
Yeah. One of the things that we were supposed to share a room, and then we got our own rooms, which is probably a good idea because, I don't know, although both of us were so exhausted, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yes.
It was a lot of work. But watching you come up with things, yes, we had a menu. Menu doesn't always work because the people that...
It never works.
Yeah. The lodge, first of all, had ordered stuff. The stuff they'd ordered, even after being told what they could order, had ordered some non-kosher stuff. So change of menu. And you just, okay, not a problem. Let's do this. And I want to know, like, how do you just come up like that? If I don't meal plan for the whole week, we're eating nothing that week. So how do you come up with ideas?
You actually call it insanity when I do it.
Well, making a croque en bouche in the middle of nowhere is insanity. Sorry. So, yes.
100%. So, one, you never commit to, you never attach to a menu, right? Yeah. A menu is just a brief of, hey, client, this is what could happen, but things happen. So the first thing with this trip, with the Mozambique trip, I remember was I sent through a list that genuinely was very long. My idea was we're on an island in the middle of nowhere, literally.
Yeah.
I don't want to run out of things when we're a 45-minute boat ride away from the city and from the nearest store.
And no guarantee to get kosher in Mozambique.
Also, yeah. Because the second we leave South Africa, it's a totally different ballgame. Mm. We don't have kosher. Just assume there is nothing, and that's why now we stock up here and just leave with stuff, which is difficult in some countries. But anyway, we'll get back to that. So I had sent the owner of the place a list, and she had said, don't worry, I'll source everything for you. We have good kosher suppliers this side. We should be fine. And I was very relaxed until I arrived. And get to the dock. Tide was very low, so we couldn't depart for like 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
I had to sit in a restaurant.
Yeah, that was such hard work for you.
Two new people enter the restaurant, but only one could eat because only one person is non-kosher.
Yes.
And then she breaks it down to me and says, I didn't quite get everything, but you should be okay. First red flag. We eventually leave, get to the house, and only then, when she was not there, because we left her in the city, we left her in Maputo, and then I realized, and she then confirms, not only did I get less than half of the stuff you sent me to get, but I have also changed the quantities. So even the stuff you do have available, you have half of that.
Yes, she decided that the quantities we ordered was ridiculous. But we had, 16 people?
Same amount of food. That was an insane amount of food. And I knew immediately upon arrival that there is no time to play. Yeah. I need to sit down, come up with a menu. And I love how we came up with a menu every day. I didn't have a set menu for the whole trip. Every day it was just, what do we like? What do we have? What can we use?
Yeah.
Also something fun that happened in the trip. I'm sorry. Getting fresh cucumbers from the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Because the only place we had access to was somewhere in the village, and somebody had a garden with cucumbers. That was amazing.
But that's right. You went to the village. I had to stay.
Back to the point, ADHD. Sorry, I keep going off.
That's fine.
But menu creation, menu editing, coming up with things on a whim. Look, cooking kosher keeps you on your toes.
Yes.
Kind of like trying to keep your kitchen chametz free.
Over Pesach.
Before Pesach, it's a wild show.
Yes.
But eventually you get it done, and it's such an amazing feeling of pride when your clients are happy and you're happy and everybody's good. Nobody knows the padding that happens behind.
Yeah, no, that is. And I mean, we turned out, I don't know how you did it, but you turned out with minimal equipment, the most amazing food, and there were no complaints about the meal at all, ever.
And whatsoever.
They were just... I think the only complaint we had was from the chef of the hotel itself or the place that we stayed at, who had never heard of kosher, never been done kosher, and was a self-taught chef. And he just could not imagine this food. And then we did Shabbos. And we know Shabbos is a lot of food because we can't cook. So we got to make it all on Friday. Yeah. And this guy almost passed out with the amount of food we made. And the truth is there was hardly anything left over. Now, I want to know this.
Yes.
Kosher and learning kosher and everything. How do you think that's prepared you for when you eventually, hopefully not too soon, because I want you here still, get a job on a yacht? Because you've done the yacht course as well.
Yes.
So we're going to see you on what's that show?
So funny story. I saw a job post yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
For a yacht post. I think we're frozen.
Okay.
Perfect. You're back now. So I saw a job yesterday strictly for a kosher chef, or a kosher experienced chef on a yacht, because the yacht is owned by a Jewish family.
Please
apply. So, hey, it's coming in very handy, okay?
That is incredible. That is amazing. I think that would be the experience of a lifetime.
Right.
I mean, that's combining two of the most, like, unusual qualifications or trainings. I mean, it's not what's taught at chef school. I love chefs, the chef schools. I find that chefs come out beautiful and everything, but they do not learn about other cuisines. You guys learn about gluten-free, kind of. You learn about, like, all those kind of things, but it's all touched on
European cuisine.
Mostly. Yeah. And yet, like, in South Africa, learning halal, like, that's a vague thing they teach you. But learning kosher is like, oh, the kosher people don't eat meat and milk and they don't eat pork. And that's the end of your training.
It's a chapter. Yeah. It's a chapter.
And not a long one, I saw.
Not at all.
So that's what I really, you know, love about how watching you grow and seeing all of you. I mean, you've had other experiences, not just working on our kosher thing. You've done non-kosher. You've gone out. Remember the kosher function that turned out not to be kosher? The one.
Yes, Mpumalanga.
Yes. So we plan, we get this call, we need kosher food for 10 people. I think it was
everything.
And everything, and we get it all together. It turns out that they didn't actually want kosher food. It was just that some of the people were Jewish. So we had
non-practicing, non-observing.
Yes. So Tsebi had gone out with all this kosher stuff that we'd put together. Mm-hmm. With her little special kit, because it wasn't going to be supervised. There was no much gap. So we'd put together a little kit for her to use. Mm-hmm. It was so funny when she phones and she goes, they're not kosher. It just
after my trip had been delayed by 3 hours.
Oh, getting lost.
Because I was also closing in the last minute.
Yeah.
Yes.
And getting lost.
And getting lost.
Yeah, that didn't help either. But that's what some of the interesting trips have been is like. And so far, I don't think you've had it, but we've had it where we've had to literally argue with a chef. It's not likely to happen with you about the kashrut. Because they're more worried about their chefing and their food than the kashrut. And like, that is one of the things that I love working with you is like, for you, I'm doing kosher, your ADHD brain automatically switches gears and you know where you are. You know you can't have this with that and that. And when we were doing your chef's alchemy menus, that was like such an easy thing just to like come up with a menu. Well, it felt easier to me when you came up with your menu because I didn't, like, even though I'm checking it for milk and meat and any issues, I didn't have to change anything because it was all there, you know. So, it's all done and dusted. Whereas when I go to lodges and now we've got to do Shabbos and trying to explain to them. But one of the other experiences I wanted to talk to you about, because I watched you prep all this food with the two mashgichim in the kitchen, in and out, and rushing around on little tables because we ran out of space, and it all had to be pre-cooked to go to Botswana.
Yes.
Now, that was an amazing trip because that was like, they wanted fancy plating and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me a little about that.
So the funny story about that trip actually is it happened the day after I was discharged from hospital.
Yes.
And I had been hospitalized for 2 weeks and I asked the doctor to discharge me a day earlier because I had to first cook, then move the food. So Botswana does not allow fresh meat uncooked meat, which is fresh meat, and fruits and vegetables that are uncooked into the country. So and they don't have kosher, so we can't really source anything there and cook it there. So the first struggle with creating a menu for such is it needs to be a menu that I can freeze, cook in advance, freeze, travel with, because we were driving down. Is it down or up? Whatever. We were driving to Botswana. And so I had to get out of hospital, cook everything for shopping.
Yeah.
Get all the produce, cook everything in your house.
Yeah.
Then package everything, pack it into the car and leave it like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. to make it to the border in time so we don't have to get there and park and wait because, again, we have food that needs to stay cold chain can't be broken for bacteria purposes and just food, general food and health and safety. So we get there and there's a whole struggle again at the kitchen. We can't turn a kitchen kosher because this is a hotel. It's a conference center. It's yeah. very busy. The function was the president's birthday. So, of course, it's a big deal. There's like 500 packs in attendance. I'm catering, I think it was 25 kosher. Yes, I think it was 25 kosher. And of the 450 to 500 guests. So already there's a clash with the chef because they can't give us a section. You know, you can't own a section. And with our line of work, it's preferred to own a section, to have my own kitchen.
You've got to have your own space, yes.
Because I don't want people putting non-kosher stuff in the fridge. You don't want to open a fridge and find bacon in the fridge, for argument's sake. So you try to keep everything as sterile as possible. And once you've kashered the kitchen, it stays kashered. So that was also a mission. But thank you, people skills. I managed to make friends with the chef who initially hated me. But by the end of the night, we're friends. Everyone is eating all the food up. It was just a party. But it was amazing. It was amazing to see us struggle with pre-cooking food, keeping it together, keeping it well enough, and then plating it, you know, because it's one thing to pre-cook a buffet-style situation. You just put it in a warmer and heat it up once you get to the place. But this is different. But again, turned out beautifully, as it always does. And I know I had said to you that was the most successful trip, but I feel like at the end of every trip...
You say the same thing, so it's fine.
I know. But the last Chita Chita trip definitely beats the Botswana trip.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
But yes, it was amazing. It was genuinely... It's very interesting to watch your brain come up with all these ideas, try to make everything work while still keeping and adhering to kosher guidelines, you know. Very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Did you know it was the president's birthday that you guys were catering for?
Absolutely not. I knew I knew when literally he passed with 50 soldiers and I found out that that's the president and that's his birthday. I was not aware until a few hours before the function.
I don't know that I would have liked you in my kitchen if you had known. It would have been an interesting I mean, this last trip that you did where it wasn't through me, so all I had done was like phone you, give the number to the guy who was arranging it, and I mean literally until you got in the car you didn't know if you had a mashgiach or not.
I didn't know if I had a mashgiach. Genuinely didn't even know where I was going until I got there. I remember getting lost and then asking the driver, where exactly are we going? So I have this silly thing where of late, and it's a bad idea because of what happened with Telstra, where I love not knowing where I'm going, especially if it's a last minute trip.
Yes.
Because it just makes me extra panic. I like not knowing who I'm going to be serving. I love just the mystery of it, you know, because knowing it's a president, I would have spent 3 hours making a menu and cracking my head and still not been happy with it.
Yes.
But it turned out beautifully. Everybody was ecstatic. So yeah, it's best not, you know.
Yeah.
You get stuck in, until you drive and you find a dead end after 40 minutes of gravel and you have no cell network, then it's probably good to pre-plan. But
that was a little stressful for me as well. I'm like, where is she? She's not answering her phone. Like, I'm getting a little nervous. I even phoned Millie's in Dahlstrom, the lady at Millie's, to ask if you'd stopped there. And she said, yes, you had been there. And she was like, oh. And I said, well, I can't. I mean, she should be at the place already because, I mean, you're right there. She says, no, she left ages ago. She actually made me phone her back when you got in contact. Because she was now worried for you.
Yes.
Such a sweet lady, that one.
And when I found out that the place I was actually going to, I've now forgotten the name.
I don't remember.
It was just 10 minutes away from Millie's. It was insane. Because not only did I drive in the opposite direction, but I then joined Gravel Road. Yeah. I drove 30 minutes in the opposite direction and then joined Gravel Road. And 45 to 50 minutes later, I realized I can't go any further. I've reached a dead end. I have no cell reception. Whew. Yeah. It's a lot. It is a lot.
It is. It has been some interesting adventures.
Absolutely.
you know, keeping you on track and trying not to let you go off on your creative tangents is always a lot of fun. You know,
quite a lot.
Yes. But we get
keeping
there.
Me fed.
We get there and it comes out perfect. And I mean, I've learned so much from you. I've learned that the impossible is possible. So I tell everybody and I show the photo everywhere is the croquembouche bush that you made on the island. Now, please remember, people, we have no pastry, you know, shoe pastry piping bags. Mm-hmm. We have nothing to fill the pastries with the custard. Yes. creating the tower and the syrup, like spinning the syrup over it. I mean, I don't know, you like were going, burning your fingers. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Okay, so let's listen to some other music, or let's talk about some other music besides food music.
Yes.
Khalashing for khalas, want to braai or fine dine? This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
It's Adrian, and I am chatting to Chef Tsepi from Chef's Alchemy. So, Tsep, one of the things about Mozambique, and I mean, even about traveling around the country, you're pretty versatile with the languages, okay? Mm-hmm. You speak a few of them, or at least understand a few. But then we got to Mozambique, and one of the most interesting parts about Mozambique is that nobody spoke English. Except the chef, and even his English wasn't great. The groundskeeper spoke a bit of English, and thankfully, one of the guests spoke Portuguese, because inside the house, we couldn't do anything because we couldn't talk to any of the cleaners, and down in the kitchen, we could barely talk to anyone because nobody knew what we wanted. So that was quite an interesting
one. That was very interesting.
Yes.
It's one of the, I think, fun, interesting parts of the work of traveling, because you don't know what you're getting until you get there, okay? Outside of just the kitchen and everything, just the people.
Yeah.
And I think with Mozambique, it was the first time where I couldn't speak the
language
was right. And I had recently started learning Spanish. And I don't know if you know this, between Spanish and Portuguese,
it's pretty similar. There's a couple of similarities. Thank goodness.
But man, that was difficult. Because trying to ask the ladies to set up the table.
Oh,
and
no.
Them trying to figure out, where are we setting up, inside or outside? And I'm like, I don't know the word for outside in Portuguese. So I remember Spanish and Portuguese, the word for here is aquí, for both of them.
Mm.
And so I just catch when she says aquí, I'm like, yeah, aquí, aquí, yeah.
It was a lot of sign language.
I actually called a friend of mine because the language the lady spoke, they spoke two languages, Portuguese and Shangaan.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I have a friend, Karabo, my best friend's name is Karabo. He is Tsonga.
Oh.
So I call Karabo up and I say, friend, when you speak, I can hear you. But I am really struggling. I don't think this is the same language you speak. And he says, Ahmed, it's all the same. I'm sure you can understand it. Until I call him when the ladies are having a conversation. And I'm eavesdropping, unfortunately. I'm like, listen. And he says, okay, I can't hear it. So he was supposed to be my help, but he wasn't.
Okay.
And it was a very, very interesting time. The chef did speak a little bit of English.
Yeah.
But very, very minimal. Mm. You know, very, very minimal. Knows very basic. Which is amazing because he's learning a language that's not his and that's not popularly in his country. But it was... very interesting. Very interesting. Usually it's South African languages. And I, like you said, I speak and understand eight at least of our languages. So that's never a problem with leaving the country.
It's interesting. It is interesting. So that's why, you know, like it's always such fun when you go somewhere new and they speak a different language. And even for me, like I can kind of, and for Daniel even, like he speaks Zulu.
Yes.
I can kind of understand it, and I can also follow if it's Pedi, Spedi. But if you stick me somewhere else, it's not going to happen.
It's over.
Yeah. So it's before over. We have to go, I need to ask you two things. What is the must-have ingredient in your fridge? Like, you've got to open a fridge and it's got to be there.
Oh my gosh. You're killing me here.
Okay.
Butter.
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 Okay. Butter. I have to admit, I agree with that one. Butter makes everything better.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can never have too much butter.
Yes.
Just if
I agree. Just hope no doctors are listening, or dietitians for that matter. But then okay. Your spice, herb or spice, the thing that just elevates whatever mm-hmm. you're doing, not salt, because everybody says salt.
Yes, everybody says salt.
Mm, or pepper. Mm, that's everybody. But is there something that you just feel needs to be in everything, even if you take it out before you finish cooking or whatever?
Oh, my goodness.
It could be something random. Hey, it could be a random thing like that.
Genuinely, not a specific herb, but I feel like herbs
in general.
Because you add basil to a sauce at the end, like to a nap sauce at the end, and it's amazing. You add herbs as garnish to the end of every dish. So herbs are definitely the star of a lot of shows.
Yeah.
But no, in terms of what's the one thing to add, I'm sorry, I'll have to go with salt. I'm sorry, I have to go with salt.
Okay.
She is the girl she thinks she is, unfortunately.
So, okay, then biggest cooking disaster. Like, I mean, because I've seen your cakes as well, by the way.
Yes. I remember this one very well. I was 21, not a chef yet. I don't know if it counts.
No, it counts.
But I was 21. And I was in university. Okay, you were disconnected. There we go. So I was 21. I was in university studying accounting. Don't ask. Mm-hmm. And I had a boyfriend, right? And he says, I'm going to come visit you for the day. And I decided I'm going to cook for him. It was a very cold winter's night. And I made soup.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you. I bought a package. I did not know anything about cooking at that point. I grew up in a household where obviously you cook. But I was forced to cook. So I was the girl who my family still can't believe that I'm a chef, honestly, sometimes. Because you tell me to cook, I put the chicken all in the pot and boil it to submission. That's what I used to do when I was a kid, you know? So I invite this guy over and I make food and I make soup for him. And I bought a packet from ShopRite, a packet of soup. It had a mixture of things, including barley and stuff. Put it in a pot, boiled it, and then realized this is looking very lumpy. This is not soupy. At what point do you get smooth and runny like a soup? So I proceed to add everything into that pot. Okay. I'm talking tomato sauce. I'm talking chutney. I'm talking mayonnaise. I am talking, listen, everything. Everything but the kitchen sink. And that was the worst food I've ever had in my life. And his response was, it's not bad. That's how we broke up. That, ladies and gents, is why I'm still single at 32.
Thank goodness your soup has improved since then.
Thank goodness, you can attest. Yeah, that was genuinely the biggest kitchen disaster I think I've had.
Well, thank goodness there have been more successes than disasters, yes. Because quite honestly, your food is just beautiful. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about this journey and seeing where you go. And I hope you put your CV in for that kosher cruise or kosher trip. It's going to be amazing.
Yacht.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Sorry. But Sip, talking to you, I always have fun. Yes. You know, just inspire me to do things. It's just always nice. I always also know that whatever she's charging me for the food and stuff has been very carefully worked out because accountant.
Yeah.
But anyway, have a brilliant week and we will chat again soon and enjoy yourselves. This is Adrienne Bugatti and Tsepesa Semenya talking on Essen for Essen Show.